Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin Tucker may be the most beloved kicker in all of the NFL. But he was. I'm not quite sure how the masses feel about him right now. I think a lot of people are waiting to see. Let's go back to, then we say, out of the losses that the Ravens had, they lost by the amount of points that Justin Tucker left on the table.
Justin Tucker, 22 points.
Yep, 22 points worth of kicks he missed, right. And they lost by 22 points in those five games.
Now, you can look at those games, and Ravens fans start doing the math. Man, if he did home field advantage, we're doing the Bills. We beat the Bills heads up. This could have happened. We could have had them in Baltimore. Do you think this is an incident, and again, it's not over with yet, Ed, this could derail the Ravens?
Can't help, I'll tell you that. I don't think derail the team because he wasn't playing well anyway. So, I don't think it'll derail the Ravens because I think he was the worst kicker in the NFL this year for a long period of time.
Okay.
I mean, that's a fact.
You're right.
So, and this may have been the reason, that, the pressure of this, carrying this terrible thing around, this monkey on his back all this time. But no, I don't think it'll derail the Ravens. What it may do is, sadly, it could just put such a terrible punctuation mark in the end of a Hall of Fame career. Just to end like that? Like, Deshaun Watson, nobody gives a rat's ass about it. Justin Tucker is the best at his game ever. Like, he's the best there ever was. Like, maybe we point to Vinatieri or Jan Stenerud, maybe. I don't know about any of them.
That's a name.
Morten Andersen. I don't know. I think this is just sad.
Jeremy, can I paint you a picture?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how fans think, or how people think, players think. So you find out now, if you're a player, that Justin Tucker was involved in all of this. Then you start wondering, well, did the team know about this?
Some people
You rode this guy out there knowing that he wasn't right in tight games like this, putting us for a kicker? You know what I mean? What if the players start doing that kind of math? And the math ain't math.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, because I told you, I said to both of you guys, not knowing the Justin Tucker thing would come up, but I questioned where the Ravens will stand next year because when you lose like they've lost in the postseason, at some point the finger pointing starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So you already are at that crossroads, and then Justin Tucker pops up. So you might be like they're on the edge already,
Yeah. Looking
to blame somebody. Like, okay, well, wait a minute. Did you guys know about this? Are you still stuck about there? Jeremy, I think because of everything else that happened, this could be the nail for some guys.
And maybe.
Not everybody, but some.
Yeah, the Ravens haven't had to go out and look for a kicker in a long time. When they did, they found a lot of talent. So I'm not like worried about the possibility of replacing Justin Tucker at this point and I'm looking at that from a football standpoint, not all the other mm-hmm. stuff going on. Because there are two different things to talk about here. Morally, what went on, criminally, all that stuff. And then, of course, what do the Ravens do moving forward? I don't know. Like, it's weird. You almost feel like somebody had to know something because we heard so much. But again, like, our lives being vastly different than a lot of people in that building where we're talking to a lot of different people.
Uh-huh.
You hear things. I'm sure some people hear things in that building and just want to ignore it. Like,
right.
That can't be true. But again, when you don't have anybody stepping forward, then how do you roll with it? How would you go after him? Now that it's out there.
That's why we couldn't talk about it.
Yeah. I feel like the Ravens, I think in the next few weeks, months, and I don't know when it's better to cut him for cap reasons. He might be a June 1st cap casualty. I don't think he's back with the team next year.
Justin Tucker thinks he's gone.
Mm-hmm. I think this is too ugly with the stuff that's went on, the allegations. It's going to be really hard for Justin Tucker to pick up the pieces after this.
But could you imagine him on the road from now on?
Yeah.
Forget about here.
The kicker, what he's going to deal with. Jesus, yeah. They already deal with enough. But again, if you believe this stuff's true, and if it is in fact true, like I believe it is, then he deserves all that. If he's able to still play in this league. The weird thing is, when you have talent, you're given more opportunities. We've seen guys play for after the fact of doing less than what Justin Tucker's done. Not that that makes anything he's done right, but or allegedly done. So I don't know where they go from here, but if they knew something about it, it's kind of tough that they couldn't see. Like, we even said it during the season, like, hey, is something going on with Justin Tucker on the home front that's affecting him now?
If they knew even only what we knew.
Mm-hmm. You can't do anything.
And no. The Baltimore Banner heard about the same things we heard about and conducted an investigation and uncovered things. So if the Ravens, the employer, heard what we heard and didn't investigate, I hold them liable. Because if they would have investigated, they would have found out the same thing the Banner found out.
I mean, I guess you could.
I hold them liable.
I have a hard time.
It's not our job to investigate that.
Because when you hear rumors and there's nobody coming forward, I don't want to. Like, some people don't want to look for those skeletons that might be in your closet.
But you are the same organization that had Ray Rice.
I know.
You know how this works. You know how this works. I'm sorry. If I'm the Ravens and I heard whispers of it, I'm calling him in. I'm asking them, okay, what are the places that you went to? And I'm going back and I'm investigating because I don't want this to come out. This is what you don't want. You don't want it coming out like this.
You had the Suggs stuff, the Ray Lewis stuff.
Yeah.
You had, obviously, Ray Rice. I mean, we can go with some other things. Like, on the smaller front, you had Jacoby Jones and Sweet Pea and the stuff that went on in the club, hearing all different kinds of stories of things that were happening on the road with Ravens players getting in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not in the hope business. I hope this is not. No. What did Cedric Entertainer said, I'm in a wish business. I wish he would go out and do that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we got problems.
Well, I'd say this for fans of Justin Tucker and the people that are just going to blindly defend him. Let the chips fall where they may. Find out, listen to the details, and see what you believe.
Well, I would say blindly defend him. I would like to see due process take place.
Oh, no question. Again, that's why I keep saying, I don't have any factual evidence, just people I trust telling me what went on.
I mean, I hate to do that. And I do this all the time. I hope people get it by now. I just, because of my training, it's like, I got to wait and just until it's factual, until it's proven, he's still innocent.
But you know it's a problem because in this country, in this world, we all want things readily available, whether it's losing weight with Ozempic or you're ordering food, you want it here now, you want to be first.
The problem is with this country now, you're innocent until you're accused.
Yeah.
And they don't wait. And, you know, as soon as the accusation's out there, you're guilty. And you can't do that to people. Because, you know, what about that principle in Owings Mills?
Oh, yeah.
Let's try that one. When they have this, you know, that recorded conversation, using racial slurs and insulting the kid. Totally made up. It was all AI. But people would just, he was going to lose his job.
And it's funny. I said, I have a hard time believing that the first time this happens, it's because of AI, right? Like, oh, it was.
Yeah, and I said it was AI when it happened. I said, I can't believe someone would speak that freely in those words in front of somebody that, you know, that they don't know that one employee. Like, there's no way. And sure enough, it wasn't. So, got to wait.
Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, the NFL is to play in Australia.
Yeah.
How much is enough?
Ugh.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I hate everything.
9:15 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. The NFL expanded its horizons yet again, Jeremy. This time they're going to Australia. The Eagles and the Rams will have the honor, I guess the honor, of playing the NFL's first ever game in Australia in 2026. So not this upcoming season, but the following year, the NFL will expand to Australia. I kind of know where you stand on all of this expansion and global traveling, but just for those who don't know, is enough enough?
I hate it. Like, how often are we getting, like, real games, not friendlies, from the soccer teams that come over here? You get a friendly match, right?
Right.
So send them a preseason game if you want to do that. Send them the Pro Bowl. There you go. You guys want to go to Australia? We're going to play the Pro Bowl there. We'll go see some kangaroos and crocodiles and wallabies. You know, like, what are we doing? Like, it's just about, okay, let's have him play there. Where are they playing in the regular season? Is it going to be early in the season? Like, traveling to traveling to London is a bitch. Traveling to Australia? Are they going to take two West Coast teams, I'm assuming?
No, the Rams and the Eagles. It says it right here.
Well, I mean, the Rams are a West Coast team, but like...
Still.
It's crazy. It takes almost a day to travel.
Yes,
there.
It takes a day. Yes.
And again, like, people, these poor players. No, it's just stupid. It's just, they think expanding it, they're going to try to draw eyes over in Australia. You think they're getting up at 1 in the morning to watch your damn games? Like, I mean, come on, man.
Well, it's funny. I don't quite get... I have a buddy of mine that I hang out with here. We call him British James. He's obviously British. The NFL is immensely popular over there before they started playing games over there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it's done. Like, football is popular around the world now. It is. You get tremendous popularity just because you don't get it here. We can't see it. You know, you can still just root for it.
Because if people want to watch the games, and again, like, I know baseball's playing in Korea and mm-hmm. Japan, but there's a reason why, because they have play. Look at the teams that are playing there. It's because they have the Japanese or Korean ball players on their team. Right. That's what we saw last year when San Diego and L.A. did it. You had all these imports that everybody wanted to see back home.
The flight time from L.A., forget Philly, L.A. to Sydney, 15 hours, 10 minutes. It gets worse. 15 hours, 10 minutes on the plane. You take off in the evening and arrive in Australia 2 days later in the morning. Not because you're on a plane for 2 days. You cross the international date line, cause you to lose a day. That's brutal.
Right now is Wednesday there?
Yeah.
Or what's that? Okay. Between now and 15
hours. If you flew there, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be Wednesday. Yeah.
Because you're crossing that
Wednesday
path.
To Tuesday, I guess.
You said you lose 2 days, though.
Well, because I mean, one is a flight day, because that's 15 hours right there.
And then the time, the difference. Yeah. Because so, like, again, I'm not faulting anybody for trying to make money to expand the sport, but is it helping? Is it like they played in Brazil, they're playing in Spain, they played in Germany, different like Munich and Berlin, over in London, played in Mexico. I get it. Like
all these places.
And now you want to go to Australia?
So you think enough is enough already?
I just don't think it's fair to the players, man, to make them travel like that in the middle of the season.
15 hours.
And I know people aren't going to agree with me because they make so much money. We're talking about the sport that has some of the most difficult injuries to deal with and come back from. It's a violent sport. Mm-hmm. And now you've got these guys traveling, the body clock and how it changes. Are you going to make them play when they come back? Or are they going to have a bye week afterwards? Because I just think it's an awful thing that the league's doing and just trying to make so much money.
What's the end game here? I mean, do they want to put teams around the world, or why do we keep doing this?
I think there will be at some time an international team, I think London. But I think really they just want to be able to be a worldwide game. Am I condoning it? No, I'm not. I'm just, he asked for a question, I'm giving him an answer.
Like, I think I'm in the minority, though, like of not wanting the, like, I think people just care about games, Rob. Like, I'm the guy saying, I think you're watering down the sport.
No. You're not the guy.
I'm one of two guys.
Yeah, I think they're,
I'm three. I hate it.
I've been saying for years they want, before international travel, they watered it down. The NFL is not the, I was watching Super Bowl, was the Steelers and Cardinals. That was just, 08, 09? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, man, the NFL has changed so much.
09.
Guys in real shoulder pads and pads on their pads. You know why? Because they hit you. They hit you. I'm like, man, this wasn't even 20 years ago, and the league has changed so much. I'm just not in love with it anymore like it used to be.
I got you.
You know, I'm just not. I watch it. I like it. It's what we do, but it's just not the same to me. And this is how the NBA lost me.
And
it changed too much.
This is just, and it's not just this Australia. And people are forgetting how far Brazil is from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's on the same side of the world. I mean, the flight time. I just looked from Baltimore to Brasilia, 13 hours 30 minutes. The Rio, 12 hours, 20 minutes. It's almost the same. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to fly that long.
And they did that
anywhere.
No. They did that week one and had those cats play the next week and week two after dealing with it. And it's not, what I'm telling you is it's not a level playing field. Getting your body clock right to get to the next game, all the travel that goes on. If you've ever been jet lagged and felt that, I mean, even just your sleep schedule, getting back to trying to get that normal is a pain in the ass.
Hey, Jeremy, I know it's a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody want to call you out, man.
Go ahead.
Because you said something allegedly that somebody didn't say. What? About Luka.
What? Oh, is it Trippy?
Yes.
Hello?
Hey, hello. Look, man, I'm a big Lakers fan, man. I've been saying ever since Kobe Bryant died, man, the Lakers will never be the same. You know why I really don't like the Lakers like that? I've never been a LeBron hater, but
he's
LeBron James fans.
Me look, too, man. Trippy. I grew up loving the Lakers.
Huh?
I grew up loving the Lakers too, and the LeBron era has really tarnished me, man.
How can you say that? How can you say the Lakers won the trade? We don't even know if Lucas want to be in LA. Only reason why I'm saying Dallas won the trade, because look, they ain't really give up nobody but Luka. And if you think about it, the last couple games they've been playing good without Luka. Hello?
Stop, man. Come on, Trippy. Like, it's one of the most ridiculous. You typed out, as a Lakers fan, I must say, Dallas won this trade. And you're going, I don't know if Luka won. You just got a 25-year-old generational talent that you're going to get for a mint,
Jeremy,
because he can't sign a Supermax.
Do you think the Lakers is built to win the championship right now?
No. No.
Exactly. So Dallas won the trade. Hello?
How did they win the trade? It's not a one-year trade. You don't get the players for one singular year.
I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
That dumbass statement, man. Come on, Trippy. Come on, like that because Dallas is going to be a contender this year, and it doesn't mean the Lakers won't be a contender, but they're so far behind the eight ball, it's going to take forever.
And because my principles won't allow me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give him a hug?
I don't want a hug. I don't even want one today. All right, maybe from Ed. No, but like to sit here and say that Dallas won the trade because they're a contender this year, they have to be a contender this year. The dude's 31 years old.
Right.
Like, how much longer do you think a guy named Mr. Glass is going to play? He ain't LeBron playing into his 40s. It's like it was a terrible, terrible trade for the Mavericks. They treated their superstar like trash, and I hope everybody else in the league recognizes that and doesn't sign with that sorry ass team. Sorry. Moving along.
By the way, this says right here that Mark Cuban is still...
He's a 5% owner. He's a
It says he maintains 27%.
Well, he's a minority owner, but they didn't call him about this. They don't have to because they have the other larger percentage. They make all the decisions. He can't make decisions for the team anymore.
Minority ownership.
Yeah.
Well,
so... we'll all find out how this whole thing plays out. And again, like right now, the way things are constituted, Dallas looks good because you have a Kyrie already. You have a big front court. But is that the way you're going to win in the postseason? What are you going to do? That big front court, when you run into a team like OKC that's just going to run you and they play defense and guard the perimeter, okay, take your twos. We're going to knock down threes and beat you. That's just what's going to happen.
Ben's Encore 9:45, but on the other side is Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line.
Yeah, yesterday hit my top play overall, but went 2-3. Oh, my God, I got to talk about the bloodbath I had on Friday night. I got 0 for 5 and lost in some of the most incredible ways possible. Came back with a nice day on Saturday. We'll talk about it. Not a big night for betting. There is one huge college basketball game tonight, a full slate of NBA. Only one NHL game, so we'll talk about that. I'll give you the plays. That's coming up next here on The Fan. All right, let's get into this because interesting weekend for me. Friday just got beat up, just got my brains beat in. One of those things where you wake up in the morning and you don't want to do the write-up because you got to recap the night before. Got a bunch of hate mail. That happens. By the way, you get hate mail when you win, too, so it's interesting. And Friday night, it was a comedy of errors. I had a hockey under where it was 2-0 going into the third, and they scored 5 goals. Had another game where Utah's up 2-0 going into third, and they give up 2 goals and go into overtime and lose. So, I mean, you find some spots. And again, I don't know what happened in the Cornell game on Friday where it's like, come on, let's go. Let's pick up the pace. What's happening here? There's like a 10-minute lull in one of their games. So Saturday came back. Had some, and again, it was another weird day. Oklahoma and Baylor were my top 2 plays. Both of them got down double digits.
Uh-huh.
Both of them scored over 60 in the second half to win the game. Oklahoma was down by 14 and ended up winning by 30. Baylor came back where Kansas forgot how to play basketball. And I want to bring that up because Kansas plays tonight in the one big game that we have this evening. And then I had some misses on Saturday as well. Like, I like the Knicks and I like Kentucky, and they were double digit favorites, and both of them lost outright. So, yesterday, a little bit different. I hit my first 2 games of the day. Loved the West Virginia under. That hit. And had some other plays that worked out for me. But mostly, like, as I'm looking at, you know, kind of yesterday's games, I had Illinois who came back and they won late. But, you know, you got some of these plays here. The Montreal-Anaheim game, 2-2 in the second, Ed, and I'm feeling good. I'm like, all right, just give me one goal apiece, and then I'm going to hit the over, because at that point it's definitely going to overtime. And one other one that I had that just broke my heart last night was Cade Cunningham over his points, rebounds, assists. It was 44.5. He's hit that the last four of his five games. They're playing an up-tempo team. He doesn't get any rebounds, and he shot so bad, and he finished just a few points under his prop. And it turned into a blowout in the fourth quarter, which means you're not playing as much. I watched Cade Cunningham miss four layups yesterday.
Four layups?
Yep. And I could have used all of them, Cade. I mean, he played his ass off. He had a good game. He just didn't shoot the ball well. And for whatever reason, I think he finished with two rebounds. He's a guy that routinely gets you around a triple-double and fills up the stat sheet. I ain't never seen a 6'6 guard, 6'7 guard, whatever he is, two rebounds in a game. I guess it happened. So that was a frustrating one. Now, where are we going to look today? NHL, I'm going to tell you to take the under in the Ottawa-Nashville game. It's the only play tonight in the NHL. It's the only game in the NHL. Let's move to college basketball. My two favorite plays are overs today, one of which is in college hoops. I like Pitt minus 13. I think they handle business. You look at the matchup here. This Virginia team, I just don't buy into them. They don't travel well. They don't score. And I think Pitt can run them out of the gym here as Pitt will be at home. I do like Iowa State tonight. You want to bet on Kansas when they're at home, but Kansas has had two of the most unbelievable losses in the past, 10 days? That loss to Houston last week, where Houston had a 0.04% chance to win that game, and they won that game in overtime. And then you go back to this game where they're up 19 at the half. Kansas was up 19 at the half.
Yeah, I was watching the game.
And they forgot how to score.
Not only that, but they were dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't just down 19. They were dead.
The shot clock's winding down. It's like, do you want to shoot it? I don't want to shoot it. You shoot it. And it seemed like they were just taking bad shots, and even the good ones were rimming out.
Yeah.
They were. And here's the other thing. I felt like late they were driving looking for calls and not getting them. And again, when you're looking to get the call, it's one thing to try to get the call and get your and one or make the shot. They were just looking to get calls, and you're not going to get that, especially on the road, man. Like, it's just not going to happen. So Baylor with a big win. Again, I do like Iowa State plus the points tonight. Not sure if I'm going to make it a top play or not. Honestly, with these plays, I'm still trying to figure out, outside of the three that I really like, what are going to be the top plays. And my favorite college play, William and Mary versus College of Charleston. It's the highest total in college hoops today because it's going to be the fastest game. 165.5. Take the over. I like William & Mary, College of Charleston. Take the over, 165.5. Oh, the other thing I had to bring up was how much I was on Kent State on Friday, and I talked about it being a great spot against Akron. Kent State couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat on Friday night. They got down so big, battled back, cut it to 7. It's too late. Just couldn't. Akron ran all over them. In the NBA tonight, here's what I'm looking at. I like the Blazers-Suns to go over 229. I like the Knicks minus 6.5. I do think I'm going to make that a top play against the Rockets. I like the Magic plus 3 as they're on the road to the Warriors. And two of my favorite plays in the NBA, one line just does not look right. The Thunder are favored by 11.5 over the Milwaukee Bucks. That's right, 11.5 over Milwaukee. And you might go, well, why the hell is that? Well, it's because Milwaukee's been on it's an awful road trip that they've had. So they were at the Clippers on January 25th, at Utah January 27th, Tuesday at Portland, and then Friday at San Antonio. And then now you look at it in January, in February, they've already played one game. They lost to Memphis at home, and now they're going back out on the road to Oklahoma. That's a lot of games in a relatively short period of time. So I checked it out to see, is Dame Lillard out? No. Is Giannis out? No, they're not even questionable. Maybe something changes later. Bobby Portis has been sick and banged up, so maybe he misses. But I'm taking the Thunder here to run roughshod over him because, again, the line doesn't smell right to me. And they're on a back-to-back as well. My favorite play tonight, they're starting to do it again. Here come the Pacers playing fast as hell yet again. And they get Utah. And in Utah, they don't play defense. I don't know if you guys know that.
Nope.
Not at all. The only concern here would be a blowout, but I still think even in a blowout like this, when the bench comes in, those guys are running and gunning too. It's just the style that they play. I like Indy and Utah to go over the 239.5. Just to recap, my two favorite plays tonight, and that's all I'm going to recap. William & Mary College of Charleston over, and Indy and Utah in the NBA to go over the 239.5. There you go.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Kahn. 410-583-1057. Jordan in Pasadena. What's up? I'm sorry, Gordon in Pasadena. What's up, Gordon?
Hey, how you doing this morning? Hey, look, I was just wondering if this would fly in the NFL. If a player, no matter what position they play, makes a penalty, why couldn't they extract him until the next set of downs?
Take him off the field if he makes a penalty?
Like a penalty box in hockey, you mean?
Exactly.
Because I think that would be problematic. Because again, when you're watching in hockey, you get a penalty. It's specific what you're getting it for. You're going to tell me some guy gets called for a tripping because he falls down, and all of a sudden you're going to send him off on the sideline?
No, but he's still penalizing.
You said to the next set of downs or the next play? Yes. So if your quarterback get a delay of game penalty, you want to take the quarterback out of the game? Exactly. I don't think that's. That's not in the best interest of the game. That's a different sport. I mean, you can't. So you're changing.
You change the whole process of the game.
So we're driving. I get a delay of game. Whether it's my fault or not, the quarterback is charged with delay of game. Yeah. So you take that quarterback out, and you change the whole complexion of the drive.
The one caveat to this would be is if you did it for personal fouls. If you did it for a quarter, but again, that's this to me is penalizing the defense yet again in another set of standards.
No, I don't like it. I think the flag and the yard is fine. It's just again, we're changing the game so much.
I'll give you the example. Look at Kansas City last week with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce got into it with who was it on Buffalo? And then the guy on Buffalo got the penalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce got fined after the game. He's the one that should have got the penalty. So they make a mistake and throw in the flag. If you're going to do that, then you'd have to challenge every flag too.
Yeah.
And then the game takes forever, and they don't want that.
So you're saying, what if that guy got called, taken off the field, and they found out later on
that he didn't do anything wrong? It's even more messed up then. I mean, they're kind of doing, in college football, you can miss an entire half of football if you get, you know.
Ben said it was DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah. I thought it was. I didn't want to insinuate, but they gave him a penalty, and it's like the second guy always gets caught.
The defensive guy always gets caught.
Nowadays.
In the NFL. If you're playing defense, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And again, I'm an offensive guy, but what they've done to the defense of the NFL is criminal.
Yeah.
It's criminal. I don't like that. If I'm running a football, Ed comes up to tackle me, I gotta take my hand, put it in his face mask, and push him to the ground.
Yeah.
However, if he did that to me, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. Why? What makes it different?
Because the penalty is called hands to the face.
Yes.
There is a penalty for that.
If you stiff arm me in my chest, that's one thing. But you should not be able to stiff arm in my helmet area.
The cage.
You shouldn't be able to put your...
But that's face masking. Hands to the face is a different call.
No, but I'm saying for running backs, the guy with the ball can stiff arm as long as you don't grab the face mask.
But he shouldn't be able to put it in his face at all.
But that's what his point is.
Like, I'm just saying, there's two different penalties there that you can have, the hands of the face or the face mask, but they're just not going to call it on a running back or a wide receiver.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's any other place on the field, it's a hands of the face penalty.
Again,
why?
It just favors the offense.
Because you get an advantage for putting the hand in the face. So why is it not an unfair advantage when I'm trying to tackle you? If you put your hand in my chest and drive me back, fair play.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I mean, the head controls everything.
Absolutely.
You take my head and push my head back, my body's going to follow that.
Yeah.
Ben has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Also, it's February. Black History Moment up next on The Fan.
Speaking of minding your own business, so, you know, yesterday was Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the groundhog's supposed to tell you whether they saw the shadow or not. Ed, what did the Italian groundhog see?
The Italian groundhog said, I didn't see nothing.
I told your story yesterday.
That was pretty funny. I sent that to the
I didn't see nothing.
I didn't see nothing. He was asking me saw his shadow. I didn't see nothing.
Yeah, nothing. I told your story yesterday of the guy that when you had the Italian person, and it was like, does anybody here speak Italian? And your buddy was like, the other police always like, I speak a little bit. And like, you walk up, he walks up and he's, what's your name? Still one of my favorite stories. Oh, you do? Yes.
And that's the encore for the day. What you got for me over there, Ed?
Encore brought to you by Lion's Den. You got to get over there, man. Lion's Den. Explore without limits and embrace your curiosity and have some fun. I enjoy everything I purchase from
there. Can you tell us the last item you purchased from there and what's it do?
Edible underwear.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a... she's going to kill me.
Be honest.
A crotchless bodysuit.
A crotchless
bodysuit. For
you or
for her?
I guess for either, but I didn't wear it.
He's a crotchless bodysuit.
Yes. Yeah.
That saves time.
Kanye's wife got nothing on us.
That saves time.
You didn't make her wear it to work.
No, I didn't. Not yet.
And now it's time for our Black History Moment.
Big,
gonna do a little something like this, you know what I'm saying?
Big, bad. Black History Month moments with Rob Long. Oh.
Today, boys and girls, we'll tell you all about Willie O'Ree. Born William Eldon O'Ree, is a Canadian former professional hockey player from New Brunswick. He is widely recognized as being the first black player in the NHL, playing as a winger for the Boston Bruins. His accomplishments of breaking the color barrier in the NHL has led him to sometimes being referred to as the Jackie Robinson of hockey, whom he had a chance to meet when he was younger. In 2018, O'Ree was inducted into the National Hockey Hall of Fame, and starting that year, the NHL introduced the annual award of Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award. For him, that's for players who are committed not only to the game of hockey, but also to their community, almost akin to the Walter Payton Award.
Yes. I also found it fascinating. I'm really happy he did that, obviously, because it's a hockey player and probably the only person who knew besides you who he was, because I don't know. But because it was the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, Boston's got...
Because they hate black people?
Well, there's a reputation up there.
Did you want to say it?
Especially that time in American history, yeah. But yeah, so I was a little surprised, but he played for the Bruins.
Yeah. Now time for you to find out what we learned today.
What we learned on the Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan.
What you learned today, Ed Norris?
Well, you're talking about the great, it's funny, I think one of the best examples, we talked about Wayne Gretzky earlier.
Yes.
It was one of the craziest trades in sports. You know, talk about the greatest hockey player of every time. You know what his record was as a coach?
Ooh.
143, 161, and 24. He had a terrible record as a coach.
Gretzky?
Mm-hmm. But
sound like Magic Johnson's.
Yeah. like Jordan. Anyway, but his 1,963 assists. It's more than any other player's total points. That's just his assists. Think about how much better he is than everybody. And after that, Yamir Yager with 1921 and Mark Messier, 1887. That's their total points. That's just his assist to get other people points. He's an incredible player. He really was.
Yeah, man. What I learned today, oh, my gosh. So the Baltimore Sun poll came out today, and the honor of being ranked number two in the Baltimore metro area, you know, second year of that program to be ranked number two, behind number one St. Francis, Jeremy. We got a game tonight versus Springdale Prep, which is a conference game, so we got to stay focused. But on Friday, it's going to be number one versus number two at St. Francis Academy. As they are ranked number one, ranked number two.
Fun times, man. All that smoke. You going to tell them what you told me about St. Francis off the air?
Oh, no.
One of these times I'm going to catch him where he goes, man, stop doing this. What are you doing? Like, people keep coming up.
You think I'm really going to? Do you honestly think?
No.
Okay. I mean, let's be honest. I didn't say it,
but I don't duck the smoke either. So, I mean, I didn't say it, but I'm all right with smoke. What you got over there, Jeremy Cohen?
Yeah, my wife stopped me last night from taking my first bite at the restaurant saying we need to pray first. I said, nah, there's no need. But why? We always pray at home when I cook dinner, she said. She said, I think we'll be fine here. The chef knows what he's doing. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? One's very heavy and the other's a little lighter. This one's rough. What did the kid with no arms get for Christmas? Don't know. He hasn't opened it yet.
Oh.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not that kid.
Oh. See ya.
Have you ever heard of really, really tall lollipops? They're called so long, suckers. I adopted a dachshund with no legs. I named him Cigarette. Every morning, I take him out for a drag.
Yeah.
Did you hear the chickpeas join the choir? They're going to hum us a song.
No. You actually rim shot that? You.
I was once in a band called Teenager's Bed. We never made it. All right, there you go.
There you go.
I had one this weekend that I really wanted to use on the show, and I forgot to like a lot of times I'll retweet it so I don't forget it or share it on social media. So many good ones, man.
Not a lot of basketball, big basketball on tonight, but a big one.
Iowa State and Kansas.
I'm going to love that one. And Kansas got to bounce back, man. They're reeling right now. They gotta bounce back.
Iowa State, who did have a hiccup last week, they lost their last game. So both these teams, I believe, are coming off of losses.
Uh-huh.
I just love this Iowa State team. I don't know if they're going to win the national championship because the SEC is just brutal. But Iowa State's really, really good. Like, Iowa State and Duke are the two teams that I really like to watch outside of the SEC.
Could it come down to Auburn and Duke?
Very much so.
Yeah. I think Auburn gets beat by somebody else in the SEC for the national championship.
Do you?
Yeah.
We had an all-SEC national championship.
No. For a trip, too. I think Duke makes it.
Oh, okay.
But I think somebody other than Auburn makes it.
Even all-SEC Final Four?
I mean, it's very possible because they're going to have, like, when we talked to Jerry Palm, he said he had 13 SEC teams getting in. So I think it's very possible.
Vinny and Haiti up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Manic Monday.